Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. Today's episode is about traditional remedies, the ones our grandmas used before any discomfort had a prescription attached to it. We're going to talk about how natural medicine was pushed out of everyday life, why so many people are finding their way back to it, and what simple, practical remedies you can still make in your own kitchen to support your family today. What is fascinating is how some of these remedies quietly disappeared from everyday life, not because they were proven useless, not because they were dangerous, but because the entire medical system changed. And when it did, anything that could not be controlled, standardized, monetized, or patented was pushed aside and labeled quackery. I discussed a reset of sorts in my World Fair podcast, and I find it interesting that there were so many changes happening in the early 1900s, late 1800s, but this episode is not anti-medicine. It's just pro-context and understanding what we lost and also gaining a new perspective. It's about understanding how we went from homes that handled most everyday health issues themselves to a culture where even minor discomfort feels like it requires an outside authority to fix, you know, an authority who paid to be told how to think, and if they step outside the system, their license is revoked. So who is really right here? Because when you understand the shift, a lot of things suddenly make sense. And if you are interested in turning your kitchen into a holistic homestead like mine, you can check out my holistic homestead bundle, which is filled with recipes and knowledge on how to utilize herbs and other healing techniques like our grandmas did. For most of human history, medicine was local. It was personal. It was built on observation, repetition, and experience. So people didn't need randomized controlled trials to notice that certain foods soothed digestion, certain preparations eased coughs, or certain balms helped skin heal faster. It was common sense, I think, and it was passed down wisdom. You know, our grandmas were telling our parents were telling us. Doctors existed, of course, but they were often a last step, not the first. You know, you're coming down with a cold and you're running to the doctor. Everyday health lived in the home. And I love that because we can make our homes central to everything we do. And also, these doctors didn't get bonuses for administering a certain amount of vaccines or kickbacks for pushing certain products. That changed dramatically in the late 19th and early 20th centuries when medicine began to industrialize. Pharmaceuticals could be mass produced, hospitals became centralized, and medical education shifted toward chemical intervention and standardized treatment protocols. So did you know that sunshine used to be prescribed for a variety of ailments? They used to have sun decks where patients would go out and get sun. Now doctors tell you to slather on chemicals to protect yourself from the sun. What an interesting shift. The only upside of modern medicine is the advances for trauma and surgery, but it also quietly reframed what real medicine was allowed to be. Anything that couldn't be isolated into a single compound, patented, and dosed precisely became inconvenient and you couldn't profit on it. So the herbal remedies, the food-based medicines, the home care practices, the sun, like I mentioned, no one profits when your patient heals themselves by just being in the sun. No one profits when your patient heals themselves by nourishing themselves with food. These weren't easily monetized or standardized, so they were increasingly dismissed as outdated or unscientific or quackery. The Flexner Report of 1910 accelerated the shift by reshaping medical education in the United States, so favoring pharmaceutical-based medicine and closing schools that taught herbal or traditional approaches. So overnight, generations of practical knowledge passed down from our grandmas, great grandmas, were removed from formal training. So not disproven, just removed. So who was tied to the funding for all of that? The Rockefellers, of course. And from that point on, healing increasingly became something you received, not something you participated in. Do you see that difference? You have to go to an outer source instead of something that you're doing. Interestingly enough, I made a reel about this this subject, and it got taken down on TikTok because I guess even mentioning the Rockefellers and how they influence modern medicine is considered dangerous. Dangerous to whom, I wonder. Thankfully, people are returning to their roots, and what we're seeing today isn't nostalgia. It's more of a recalibration, because I feel like when you start to get to know yourself or reconnecting with ourselves, we are recalibrating back to what was for our bodies. So people are realizing that the modern system excels at emergencies, but struggles with everyday health, sleep issues, digestive discomfort, skin problems, anxiety. And these are not emergencies, but they affect quality of life constantly. And for these issues, the system often offers either suppression or long-term dependency, not a resolution, not a solution, not something that is going to the root of it. So people are looking backward to what their ancestors did to reclaim what was lost. And I love that. That's where traditional remedies live. So, for example, our grandmas did not treat every cough like a malfunction. They treated it like communication with our bodies. The body was doing something, and the goal was to make that process less uncomfortable, but not shut it down completely, okay? Our body knows what it is doing with fever, cough, runny noses, and other symptoms that the medical system says need to be treated. I have found that letting my body just run its course without heavily medicating has led to my body being more strong and more resilient. So honey was a staple for sore throats back in the day and still is. I love honey because it coats and soothes irritation. Honey is such a wonderful food. And if you can have bees on your homestead, get bees. They do more than honey, pollen. They do, like I just made a tincture of propolis, which was really cool. And I use that as like a throat spray, but bees are incredible. But warm liquids mattered when you're having that sore throat and cough and congestion, because warmth relaxes tissue and encourages circulation. So lemon wasn't added for vitamin C hype either. It was added because it cut through heaviness and made the remedy more tolerable. So onion and honey syrup, which I make every single fall, is one of those remedies that survived because it worked enough to earn its place. And it's so, so easy to make. So onion releases liquid when combined with honey. You can make a syrup within 24 hours. So creating a syrup that people took by the spoonful when coughs lingered, it wasn't meant to be taken indefinitely. It was used until the body moved through the illness. On the other hand, if you ferment garlic and honey, which I do, and it is so good, that is more of like a tonic for overall wellness, whereas the onion and honey is more you make when you start getting that cough or the throat irritation. You have a syrup within 24 hours, and it does not last as long as fermented garlic honey. But steam was another overlooked remedy. So long before humidifiers, people used bowls of hot water and towels to ease congestion. So steam loosens mucus, calms inflamed airways, and helps people breathe more comfortably, especially at night. So none of this was complicated. And that was the point, and that was the beauty of it. Now we have shelves lined with thick goos and long lists of side effects to calm our coughs and help with the mucus. But that's a big no thank you for me. When you start reading those side effects, it is just, yeah, why would anybody ever take it? But nobody reads that little insert, okay? Take that little insert out of whatever medication you got, read it, okay? And one of the most interesting places where traditional wisdom quietly disappeared is nervous system support. So today we talk about anxiety, depression, burnout, sleep disorders as isolated conditions, but historically they were often understood as signs of depletion, especially mineral depletion. So for example, magnesium plays a critical role in nervous system regulation. So muscle relaxation and sleep. When it's low, people tend to feel restless and tense and just emotionally flat or unable to unwind, just tense. So the modern diets, depleted soil, and chronic stress have made magnesium deficiency incredibly common. And what's fascinating is that older generations seem to understand this intuitively, even without the language. So one example that surprises people is depression glass. I was so fascinated when I learned this. So during the Great Depression, colorful glassware became widespread. You know, people are struggling, they're down and out, but on the surface, it looks decorative or frivolous and you're like, why would they even have all this decoration when everyone's struggling? But there was a belief, and I also believe it, that the colors, different colors, they affected the well-being, and certain colors were associated with calming and grounding effects because of what went into the glass. If you think about like uranium glass, that if you go into antique shops now, they're under black light. Well, those had special health benefits. And what are we told? Those are bad. Drink out of plastic. Get the plastic glasses from McDonald's. Like, let's just think about this. So green and amber glass were especially common. These colors were believed, you know, by our grandparents who had infinite wisdom, and we're now told that it was just quackery, to help counter low magnesium states. So they were drinking out of these glasses that had certain minerals in them. And so this with the magnesium was associated with nervous tension, low mood, fatigue. I mean, imagine everything they were going through in the Great Depression. And people noticed the patterns. They noticed that environment mattered, light mattered. So when light comes through glass, if you think about stained glass, there's also different effects that you can have on your body from that light. If you think about these old world buildings with cathedrals and all of the stained glass that they had, those were once healing centers, and stained glass had something to do with that. I still remember growing up, my grandma always drinking from depression glass, warm evening drinks, dim lights, mineral-rich foods. So these consistent routines that were keeping people healthy, these weren't wellness trends our grandparents had. They were survival tools that they learned growing up and that were passed down. And when pharmaceutical solutions, you know, quote unquote solutions, became the default, this layered approach to our health, it just disappeared, it vanished. So emotional distress became something to fix and to medicate rather than something to nourish and to build on and get to the root cause. So we get these band-aids instead of the root fix. And today these different minerals are being rediscovered for all that they do, not as a total cure-all because, right, our body is complex and we have to be in tune with it, but as a foundational support that many people are missing. Traditional medicine always placed digestion at the center of health because people noticed that when digestion was off, everything followed. I feel that personally as well. When I was vegetarian, everything just became a disaster. My nails were brittle, my hair was thin, and my skin was not great either. And I didn't know at the time what was going on with my body. I thought I was nourishing myself, but now I know to pay attention to those signs. So our grandparents used simple remedies for these digestion issues. First of all, they weren't vegetarian. They were using those fats in the kitchen. But one of my favorite things that they used was ginger tea for nausea and sluggish digestion. I use that too in my kitchen because it's warming and stimulating without being harsh. And fennel was also used after meals to reduce bloating and discomfort. Broth was given when the body needed nourishment without strain. So, you know, think of somebody sick and they're needing some nourishment, but they can't hold food down. Bone broth. Parsley was also eaten to support digestion. And we wonder why digestion is such a big issue now. Our digestion has no traditional support to it. So modern medicine often treats digestion symptom by symptom. Traditional care treat it as an entire system. So medication after medication that just masks these symptoms, right? So seriously, if you go in for acid reflux, instead of discovering why you are having it, you are given a pill that will just make your stomach system worse. And then think of the cascade and your stomach's now worse. What else is going to get worse? Read those inserts before taking anything and understand the side effects or long-term effects. I can't believe people don't do this. Read. And in my opinion, nowhere is the contrast between traditional care and modern intervention clearer than skincare. You can see the results on skin. You can't necessarily see what's going on in your stomach. You can feel it, but with skin, you can see. I have created my own skincare line, Arvati, when I started to embrace traditional skincare and saw how it transformed my skin. So I want to share it with the world. It started with his eczema. My tallow balm healed his eczema and it's transformed my skin. But traditional skincare focused on protecting the skin barrier. So dryness, irritation, and sensitivity were treated by reducing moisture loss and shielding the skin from environmental stress, not by stripping it, resurfacing it, or correcting it. Because again, our body doesn't need correction. The body knows, it just needs support. support. So this is why tallow has such a long history as a skin remedy and a support, a long-standing support that our ancestors used and knew and utilized on their homesteads. So tallow supports the skin barrier in a way that feels intuitive. It doesn't feel intrusive. It doesn't fight the skin like so many of these products do. Gosh, I remember when I was a teenager and there was this harsh acid that was super popular at the time, and it was red. I still remember it was like acid, alcohol, and I remember I'd put it on these cotton balls and then put it on my skin every single night. My skin just burned, and I thought that I was doing good for my skin because that was what I was taught and that was what was popular. I wish I had tallow, because when your barrier is strong, like tallow is helping your skin barrier become strong, the skin naturally becomes calmer, more resilient to the environment, and better able to heal itself. Like, think about that. When you're supporting your body, your skin, your stomach, when you give it that support, then your body can do what it does best. It's heal. So like I mentioned, modern skincare often creates problems it then sells the solution for. Again, read the ingredients on your skincare and research the side effects. They are selling you the problem, and then they are telling you they will fix the problem they are selling. It's a big pharma psyop. And not only that, it ties into, I believe, why there are so many fertility issues going on. When you look into those ingredients on big skincare, you're going to find that a lot of them are affecting hormones. So I go very deep into this in my podcast episode, Tallow Truths, Breaking Free from the Skincare Matrix, where I explain why simplifying your routine and focusing on barrier support can completely change how your skin behaves. I live it. I literally have gone through that transformation, and now thousands have with my Arvati skincare. And I highly recommend listening or reading that episode. It's super informational if you want to learn more. And if you're looking for a practical way to apply this philosophy, this is exactly why I created my tallow balms, my oil cleansers, my serums. It's designed, all of them are designed to protect the skin barrier, reduce dryness, and support long-term skin health, okay? Supporting the body without unnecessary additives or those hormone-disrupting ingredients. I have thousands of reviews of people sharing their positive skincare stories. This is not about trends. It's about restoring what worked before skincare became an industry taken over by, well, big pharma. Traditional remedies didn't vanish because they failed. They vanished because the system changed. So once medicine again became centralized and pharmaceutical-driven, anything that could not be regulated, patented, or prescribed lost legitimacy. So home remedies did not fit that model. This created a false binary. So either modern medicine or nonsense, but real life does not work that way. Our bodies don't work that way. And everyone is individual in how their body, their systems regulate and operate. So modern medicine is extraordinary in emergencies, like I mentioned, but I will not step foot into a doctor's office for routine care. Literally ever. But if I need trauma, I would go. Like, that's it. Traditional care is extraordinary for everyday life, though. So we lost this balance when we had the big pharma takeover and replaced with what they called quackery. And y'all, it was not quackery. It was wisdom, but that wisdom couldn't be profited on. So imagine if all the families still had this knowledge, how many more healthy people we would have. But health does not benefit the system. But now people are restoring that balance, not by rejecting medicine, but by reclaiming their agency and reclaiming that connection with their bodies. And the biggest lesson our grandmas left wasn't a specific remedy, I would say. It was confidence to know that our bodies are complex and smart, and that a pill is not going to solve our problems. Think about that. Just think about how complex our bodies are, how unique they are. But the body knows. And it's just that confidence that the body can heal when supported, right? Not when given some magic pill, but when supported. supported. Confidence that not every issue requires a visit to the doctor's office. Gosh, I know people when they get a cold, runny nose, sore throat, they are running to the doctors. And I'm like, why? Why? Just let your body do her thing. But confidence that the home can once again become a place of care. And that's what I want to pass on to my family. So traditional remedies aren't about going backwards, right? They're about remembering that healing was never meant to be outsourced entirely. Think about how individual we are and how they have lopped healthcare into one boat. You go to the doctor for acid reflux, somebody else has acid reflux, totally different reasons why you guys are getting acid reflux. You'll get the same sort of plan or pill. Oh, it's just such a nightmare and a mess. But that knowledge didn't survive generations, that wisdom, because it was sentimental, right? It survived because it worked. I have been embracing this on my homestead for a while now, and I have not been to the doctor in years, and I am healthier than I have been in my whole entire life. I would actually argue when I was seeing a doctor regularly, I was more sick than I am right now. Okay, I'm not sick right now, but you see what I mean? I was more sick in that period of my life. I am very healthy now that I'm not seeing a doctor, relying on their insane advice. The last time I was at a doctor, I told them, hey, yeah, I'm not vegetarian anymore. I'm eating red meat. Well, how often are you eating red meat? I said multiple times a day, and I feel so good. I don't have those digestion issues that I, you know, talked to you about at full length the last few times I was here. I feel so good. I have so much energy. And they were like, I'm really disappointed. You know you're going to get heart disease. Da-da-da-da-da. That was the last time I went to the doctor. Like, what? A complete joke. But this is about the journey for you in reconnecting with your body, because when I say they, the system, Big Pharma, they have disconnected us from our intuition and that knowledge. But I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you find it helpful, and I appreciate you spending your time with me. You can find me on social medias, Gubba Homestead everywhere, my videos, and I appreciate you just having a good day with me. I hope you're having a good day, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.